I am excited to be here this afternoon. I'm excited that you're here this afternoon, and I'm excited to be able to dig into God's Word together this afternoon. Pretty exciting stuff, really, to be able to come around the table on the Lord's Day with the Lord's people according to the Lord's plan. It is truly very exciting. We've been talking about love. We've been talking about what real love is. Real love is loving someone's eternity. Real love is loving someone eternally. That is yourself, that is your family, that is the people that you come into contact with in the world. Real love is about loving someone's eternity. Christ demonstrated what real love is for us. Then, not only did Christ demonstrate that for us, but then also he communicated that to us on a level that we could understand. Okay? So he wasn't just the demonstration and then, hey, you get it, you catch on. Okay? He communicated to us on a level that we would understand and be able to identify with. And Christ's love wasn't dependent upon our response. So what we talked about last week was his love was not dependent upon our response. God loved the whole world. The whole world didn't love him back. What he did for us was not with the expectation that everyone would then take advantage of the love that he has for them. So Christ's love wasn't dependent upon our response. And so I want to talk a little bit today about our love. And our love then is to be as his love was and is. Our love is not dependent upon others' response. We follow Jesus' example. We love without expectation. We joyously spread the seed, happy in the work. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. At the very end of last week, we were talking about value and everything that Jesus has done to communicate value to us. Jesus went to great lengths to show you individually, you put your name in here, just how valuable you are. He went to extreme lengths to communicate that to us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, when we completely rejected the Christ, when we were in rebellion, when our lives were antithetical to everything that God is about, God demonstrated his love towards us. He communicated to us that he cares for us on an individual basis. Knowing that, the percentages are that the world is going to reject him. The percentages are, okay, wide is the way that leads to destruction, right? Narrow is the path of life. He loves the people that are on their way to destruction. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, do they have a relationship with him? No. Don't anybody hear me teaching universalism. But what I do want us to hear is that God's love is not dependent upon our response. Our relationship, yeah, that's dependent upon our response. Okay? You can love Brad Pitt. That doesn't mean you're married to Brad Pitt. Right? You you love Brad Pitt. That doesn't mean that you're married to Brad Pitt. So, it's a coarse example, but God loves everyone individually, but God does not have a relationship with everyone individually. So then God has given us the example of this is how you love. When we and so Jesus would have had to have given all of himself to his disciples, knowing scripturally from prophecy that one of these guys is going to be the son of perdition. What, not only did he know that the world as a whole is going to reject him, he also knows that I am going to call these 12 guys, and these guys are going to be my best buds. These are the people that I am going to share life with. These are the guys that I'm going to pour into. These are the guys that the kingdom of heaven is either going to advance or not advance based upon where they go. And one of these guys is going to reject. One of these guys is going to betray me. One of these guys is going to take everything that I have poured into it and is going to dump it out. Worth less than nothing. And then eventually he's going to figure out that Peter's basically going to do the same thing too, but Peter's going to repent. Peter's going to have a change in mind. And Jesus still demonstrated that love. So the Christian needs to work to understand and believe that, number one, that God loves me individually, so that then I can also love the world. See, a lot of times what we see is ill and harsh behavior toward others, and it really doesn't have to do with the others in that equation, right? It really has to do with having a hard time believing that God loves me on an individual basis. And then so I got to find something wrong with Bob because something's wrong internally, right? I have a hard time believing that God really loves and accepts me, so I'm going to find something about Bob to reject. That's the way that really works, right? I'm going to see Bob's flaws. You see Bob, yeah, right? Because something's wrong inside of me. And I can't love without expectation, not because of anything that Bob did. I mean, I'm trying to get everybody to think that it's about Bob, right? But who's it really about? It's about me and not being able to accept God's love for me. Once I can really accept that, hey, he loves me, all of my issues and all, right? And he loves me enough that he's going to actually help me do, well, let's put it this way. He's going to help me, he's going to love me enough, okay, that he's willing to give me the grace to be able to take that next step forward. He's going to give me the space to be able to work that instead of pointing. Did you see what Bob did? Did you see what Marshall did? Did you see what Davey did? See, God's not doing that. A lot of times when we have a problem accepting God's love and we have a hard time believing God's love on an individual level, that's where the flaw finding begins to come out, right? But 1 John chapter 4. See, God knows that this is going to be an issue for us. You know what? Eh, I have a hard time. That's okay. Have a hard time believing God's love for you. That's okay. Yeah, you found yourself pointing the finger because that's okay. You take the next step forward, right?
First John chapter 4. Verse 16. Our verse of the month. And we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. So the Christian then has to do some work to really internalize the fact that God loves us. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. That takes some work sometimes. That takes some processing sometimes. Even for the Christian. That's okay. Right? When you got married, you loved your spouse. Right? You got married, you loved your spouse. Okay. And maybe your experience is different than mine, but a lot of times, our concept of what that love is when we first get married is really limited. It doesn't take away from the relationship, that you have a relationship. It doesn't take away from the love that was there initially. But that the depth of that love grows exponentially, right? Because you start to really understand what sacrificial love really is. You begin to understand what that's supposed to look like. See, that takes some work. That we have come to know and have believed what the love of God is. Is it going to take some work in our relationship with our husband, Christ, for us to understand what the love of God is? Yep. And to believe it. To know it and to believe it. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. The lack of understanding the love that God has for us and accepting his grace towards us manifests itself in judgment and condemnation, sometimes of ourselves, sometimes of others. But that's how it manifests itself. Renewal of our minds is essential to see things from God's perspective, whether that is of ourselves, or our brethren, or the world. Renew our mind to come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. Well, how else are we going to know and to believe the love that God has for us except through getting our nose in the book? How is it going to come except for renewing our mind, meditating on his scriptures? See, we've talked about the importance of understanding and knowing value. See, but we won't value ourselves appropriately if we haven't come to know and believe the love which God has for us. Well, if you don't value ourselves appropriately, how are you going to value your brother appropriately? How are you going to value the world appropriately? And so, that value, okay, God has gone to great lengths to communicate to us. Last week we used the illustration of the guy that used 10,000 bitcoins to purchase two pizzas. So, last Saturday night, I looked this up, and the value of one bitcoin was $86,000. $8,600 for one Bitcoin. So, between now and then, again, I'm not sure. I'm not giving you any financial advice because it seems like there's a bubble coming here. But from last Sunday to this Sunday, Bitcoin has gone from $8,600 to $10,000. So, from $8,600 to 10,000 from last Sunday to this Sunday. So if you made the investment last Sunday, good on you. So you do the math of 10,000. He spent 10,000 bitcoins times the value of one bitcoin is $10,000. So kids, this is an excuse to jot down, do a little bit of math. Hey, during the sermon. Okay, and so you multiply 10,000 by 10,000, you get yourself a pretty big number, right? Two large pizzas. $100 million. Two large pizzas. Well, why? Because that guy had no idea that on December, what, 3rd? Had no idea that on December 3rd, 2017, that one of those stupid little bitcoins, that was going to be worth $10,000. He had no clue, or else he's not going to spend 10,000 bitcoins for two large pizzas, right? He doesn't understand the value, understandably. He didn't comprehend the value of that bitcoin. Jesus communicates to us our true value when we feel like our worth is two pizzas. He says, no, you don't get it. You don't comprehend the true value of this. This is your real value. And real value is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the real value. You might feel like your worth is two pizzas, but you're wrong. Sometimes we have to get used to that. You're wrong. Okay. He's right, I'm wrong. Okay. Now, a couple weeks later. He's right, I'm wrong. Okay. A couple weeks later. He's right, I'm wrong. Okay. Yep. Reevaluate. Okay? So God's communicating our real value, okay? And he's right. And when other people disappoint us, you know what Jesus does? He communicates to us their value. It's okay. They're valuable. You know what? You were wrong. You know what? They're valuable. You are a mature, restore such a one. There's a reason why it says it that way there in Galatians. Okay? And so, that value is really important. And each one of us have a role to play in the body of Christ. See, we talked in the first hour about making the kingdom the number one priority. And we all have a part to play, a role to play within that. And what God wants you to do is to play your role. You're not all going to be doing the same things. We're not all going to be primarily responsible for the same things. What might be a big part of my time pie might be a very small part of your time pie. That doesn't mean that the rest of your time pie isn't important. Everybody with me there? But do what you have to do 100%. Do where your part of the body is 100%. We talked about how there's a number of different ways for us to be able to communicate love and value in a way that other people are going to understand. Whether that's going to be, you know, baking cookies for the neighbor. Whether that's going to be, you know, putting a tree up for the community to be able to appreciate, which is on the front of your bulletin, thanks to Lima Christian School, right? And all sorts of things that can communicate love on in a way that an individual is going to understand so that we can communicate to those individuals, Jesus says your value. Jesus loves your eternity. But until we meet their needs, okay, a lot of times what the world hears is be warm and be filled. But what we want to do is we want to communicate, I love you, and I love what really matters about you. Because the other part of that is we can do all of the nice things, the be warmed and the be filled things. If we don't get to the spiritual things, none of those things matter for anything. I want to try to impact somebody's soul. I want to try to impact somebody's eternity. See, you are valuable, and your work is valuable. And the value of your contribution is not based on others' recognition. Jesus determines the value of your contribution. And you're responsible to Him. You're accountable to Him. And your contribution is worth something to Him. Other people's recognition of that contribution doesn't matter. 1 John 4, verse 19. Verse 19. We love God because He first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. And the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this is the commandment that we have from Him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Our love of God is demonstrated by the love that we have for the brother. We work to understand and know the love that God has for us, and then we show the love that we have for God by loving one another, communicating to others their value, their worth. God loves. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. We started this series out quoting John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. 1 John 3:16. We know love by this, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brother. We lay down our lives for the brother with a full heart, because we have come to know and believed the love of God.